Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing. We have a breaking news update. The Loch Ness Monster. Plausibly undeniable. You heard that right. Today, scientists have come out and said the existence of the Loch Ness Monster has been on the meter of hoax to real. It's been moved from hoax to plausible. And it just goes to show you that scientists are wrong and all the time.
Absolutely.
And we should never believe them.
That's pretty cool though, man. Like, so apparently they found, a plesiosaur fossil on an ancient African riverbed, which kind of goes to say that there's a possibility that, you know, these monsters, these plesiosaurs, which could potentially, like, that's pretty much the closest, you know, we have to what we've depicted the Loch Ness Monster, right? Like that's...
Yeah, the small head, the long neck,
flippers,
the big body.
Yeah, like that's... it's the closest... It meets the description the closest. And now, like, we potentially have proof that they could have existed in fresh water.
And that was a big point of contention. They said that this kind of species that, you know, what a lot of people have said the Loch Ness Monster would be... would have been not kicked around freshwater. It would have been strictly in the sea. So now finding this thing that, you know, it's freshwater, but it to me, I've always thought, like, you know, it's always kind of a bold claim that you would just say, like, absolutely not. Like, you take a hard stance on that because, like, even like seals, like we have seals, saltwater seals that, you know, when the salmon are running here, where I'm from, we'll swim way the fuck up a freshwater river to try to get them.
Absolutely. Like that,
right?
It depends on, like, what are they driven? Are they driven for food, whatever? Or, you know, there's a possibility that maybe it can tolerate both.
Right? Exactly.
Right? Like,
and so, like, you know, here's where I'm saying, like, you know, perhaps back in the day in, you know, some sort of cataclysmic flood or something, like these things allegedly, you know, the plesiosaurus, they say died out 66 million years ago, but that's just the guess, right? But these things existed with crocodiles. And I think I'm pretty sure that crocodiles still exist.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right? A safe assumption.
I think so. I think that's a safe bet. Yeah. I'm not a scientist, but I think we can make that.
Well, it's fine. Scientists are wrong. We know this. We've already proved it.
But my thing is, like, you know, if there was high waters or high rivers and one, if these things would regularly swim into areas where, you know, say like salmon or you know, something back in the day that would go from saltwater to freshwater for spawning or something like that. Perhaps that's what these things did, similar to salmon migration, right? We don't really know 100%, right? So maybe, like, actually, I never even thought about that. Maybe this is one of those like salmon spawning things where these things would, the trek, you know, when they were born, they're little, they can swim into the saltwater, then they get big and they have to make these epic treks back to these freshwater lakes where they give birth.
Yeah, could very well be.
And you know what the other thing is? I'm like, the other thing that I'm thinking is, like, man, have you ever, like, seen what, like, the changes a salmon goes through? Like the changes.
Yeah, they're literally, like, they're literally a fucking Pokemon. They evolve.
Yeah, they evolve.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild, man.
To look like something not in, like, entirely different in a short amount of time.
Ugly
so
bastard.
My thing. Yeah,
ugly,
so maybe
bastards at the end.
So maybe, like, you know, this makes the idea that something like this could have lived in a freshwater lake,
specifically the Scottish Loch.
Yeah. Now, so we all know the, you know, Nessie is, it's a Scottish folklore. it's been, you know, it's been around for probably a lot longer than 1933. But it was 1933 when it gained worldwide attention because of the surgeon's photograph. And that's the famous photograph we've all seen of Nessie, the shadowy photograph. But like there's, you know, there's been sightings all, you know, forever throughout his people thinking they catching a glimpse. And even in our hometown in Okanagan, there is a, you know, a rumored sea creature. And I've always thought,
if you want to learn more about it, there's a great episode on the Mike Tyson Mysteries, teaches all about it.
Well, and we also have a couple episodes. We have a couple episodes on, we have episodes on Patreon, patreon.com/alientheorist. I think it's just Ogopogos. And because there's lots of different pogos and lake monsters around North America, I think we did a dedicated case file on that. And we've also done a dedicated case file on Loch Ness Monster. So if you want to check out that, look back in our catalog. The interesting thing though, that I keep like looking into is that like, we don't know. Like if these things existed they died off 66 million years ago, you know, again, this thing was living with crocodiles, which are still around. So why not a small group? Like maybe they went extinct and it took them a long time. Maybe these things live for a long time. Like we have turtles that live hundreds of years, right? We
still have dinosaurs, dude. We still,
right?
Go ahead and try and fucking tell me a Komodo dragon isn't a dinosaur. I just watched one eat a deer today on Twitter, like with one bite.
Yeah. Right. So my thing is, I'm like, you know, perhaps if these things live long enough with a good enough food source in an area, perhaps they can live a lot longer. And I'm not saying that Nessie is 66 million years, but, you know, a lot of people have, because the Loch Ness, like it's one of those bottomless lakes, much like the Okanagan Lake, that people have thought that maybe there is some sort of channels to get to. You know, to get
from
to
connecting Okanagan Lake to a lock, you know,
yeah.
Like, and also think too, like if this thing has been around that long, it's had to evolve to stay alive. Right. And it makes you wonder, like maybe it's got some type of fucking camouflaging, like, you know, the octopuses that we talked about, right? Like maybe it's evolved to stay undetected.
Part of me too is part of me have always thought this too. I had a thought. It's like if you've ever had a goldfish, right? Your goldfish will only grow as big as the tank allows it to grow.
Yeah, but on the outside, it'll grow huge.
It'll grow huge, right? So it's like these things maybe in the open ocean and stuff will get massive, right? Like in the salt water on a different diet, it allows for these things to just their growth rate to explode. But perhaps in a lake, and again, I'm no marine biologist, so you know, don't be hating on me for my little knowledge of marine biology. But perhaps one of these things living in like a lake scenario would be a lot smaller than say its seafaring right companion. Or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, like you know, it's not as big as the sea, but that's fucking like, look at Okanagan Lake for an instant. You could fit a big fucking, big fucker in the Okanagan Lake. Like there's a lot of room, right?
100%.
And like, I'd imagine like we've got pretty big a sturgeon compared to most, right?
But what I'm saying is I'm not disagreeing with you, but what I'm saying is maybe the first ones that came into like the, is the lake actually called Loch? What's the region, Loch Ness? Well, it's the Loch Ness region. I don't know what the lake's called. But say that fresh water, the body of water, say they were in there, right? And then were trapped in there, but had more than enough food and stuff survived because there was still, you know, food supplies coming into spawn and stuff. So they actually had it. There was enough to supply whatever was left in this pond, basically, this fresh body of water. So they were having babies, but because of the receding water and stuff, their ability to grow just got smaller and smaller. So like, do you know what I mean? Like, so like as the, you know, the parents died out and the grandparents, like the babies and stuff didn't grow to as vast size as their parents had.
I guess. So Loch means lake, and it's so Ness Lake.
Oh, Ness Lake. Okay. That makes sense.
I don't know why. Right? I don't know why they got to go a fucking Yoda on us with it, but...
You know. Yeah. Just call it...
Lake Ness.
Are we sure it's even Loch? Or are they trying to say lake and that's just their accent?
Yeah, probably. A little bit of both.
Right? But it's... You know, this has been, it's been blowing up on social media. It's been blowing up everywhere because it makes the idea of what people are seeing and what people describe when they say they see Nessie. Like the biggest hurdle right now is that these things supposedly died 66 million years ago. Right. But
all we're saying is there's a chance.
There's 100% a chance. And then if you're looking at these things that like, you know, we're with Göbekli Tepe. We're making new discoveries that are just changing everything we know all the time. You know, we don't know a lot about the open ocean. We don't know a lot about the deep sea. There's still tons of mysteries to unravel. There's still, you know, giant squids were just myth until recently. You know what I mean? Till some were caught on camera. But it's an interesting thing because it makes me wonder if. You have these people. And it's not like in 1933, you know what I mean? Someone would have had been like, hey, that's a plesiosaurus. That's what I'm going to base this off of. You know what I mean? When was the first plesiosaurus found?
Question.
Right? That'd be an interesting question to me because then I just wonder if it gives credence like, wow. The first complete skeleton of a plesiosaur was... found in 1823.
Oh, wow. Really?
Right? Holy shit. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That goes with what I was saying last case following says it's easier to find dinosaur bones back then.
Yeah, it's fucking everywhere. Easier,
boys. They're everywhere.
Yeah, you just dig a hole, they're everywhere. Fucking... Mary Anning found it in the Lyme Regis Dorset.
Yeah.
I don't know where that is.
Oh, yeah. I know all about it.
Yeah, big Lyme Regis fan. Yeah. You vacay there in the spring? So, you know, that kind of blows my theory out of the water a little bit but how in 1933, how widely known what a plesiosaur would have been and how widely pictures would have been distributed of them, I'll question that. So it's like, even if that first one's a hoax, right? That first one sets the tone of like, that's what that is. And people started putting that together that perhaps it's some sort of plesiosaur. And I don't think that... This is people saying that this is a plesiosaur. Loch Nessie is a plesiosaur. Maybe it's a descendant of a plesiosaur, right? And it's, you know, perhaps it was the last one, right? And who knows? I'm not sure, but, right? Maybe it just lurks at the bottom of the lake, just sitting there, sucking back on pond scum. Well, that's what it lives off of. And beer cans floating to the bottom.
And the odd Scottishman.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, right? They do say that's the legend, right? And the same with the Ogopogo, right? So it's interesting that it'd be interesting to find. I remember they found like the giant, was that a hoax back in the day when they found the giant skeleton? Remember they said they found the giant skeleton in Okanagan Lake?
They didn't find a skeleton. They found there was like a sculpture, actual Ogopogo sculpture at the bottom of the lake.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right? And like if you go diving, you can find it near the Okanagan Bridge.
Yeah, in the murky...
Yeah, terrifying. Yeah. I shit my pants.
Murky water. But it's, like I said, it's interesting. It's really interesting that these things we now know that, you know, they were going into freshwater. For what reasons, we don't know. We don't know that yet. This is breaking discovery that we found these things that is basically saying like, okay, well, we kind of got to... rewrite what we think we knew about them because if they're going into freshwater, we need to figure out why they're doing that. Why were they doing that? Was it for food sources? Was it for mating? Was it just for shits and giggles? They would just go in there. How long could they survive in there?
I mean, for me, as at this point going forward, I have to think that it was potentially looking for food, looking for prey, whatever, because I feel like you would have found more by now in these potential freshwater areas. Right, if this was a place where it went to spawn or whatever, right? Because that's an essential part of its life. Whereas, you know, our particular plesiosaurus, maybe it wasn't eating, maybe it was starving, maybe it got caught up, and the chase ended up going into a fresh river source.
Here's the thing. There wasn't just one found, right? They found bones and teeth from a 3 meter long adult. How big's 3 meters? 12 feet? Fucking big.
Big ass.
I don't
big
know.
Boy. Too big boy.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
Too big boy.
But they also found an arm bone of a 1.5 meter long baby.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right, so half the size.
Okay.
Right? So they had a baby with it. So
also,
Maybe it's one. Maybe they give birth there and then they raise the young there for a while before they take them into the sea, right? Like a salmon of some kind, right? Go and give birth. They raise it in the fresh water and then they bring it to the ocean.
Yeah.
So I know it's going to be interesting to see what, we kind of uncover with that. The interesting thing was that the teeth of the adult were grounded down. And this is pretty common, I guess, because there's another water dwelling dinosaur called the Spinosaurus. And they've determined that the Spinosaurus would have heavy wear on its teeth because it would eat an armored fish that lived around the river area. And they were so heavily armored that over time, these things would just slowly wear down their teeth chewing through the armor. And the plesiosaur that they found is, I hope I'm saying that right, plesiosaur, had the same wear marks. So they're just basically determining that like it was obviously eating the same armored fish that lived in this area, right? Like as a food source because of the teeth grinding. So it's like obviously, it's interesting because it's like, If this armored fish, I wish the article said more about this armored fish because I'd like to know more about it. Because like, was this a freshwater fish exclusively, or did this thing travel between saltwater and freshwater? Because knowing that information about that, if that's also found in saltwater, then we can start to kind of suss out why exactly the Nessie would be going to these freshwater locations.
Placodermy.
Is that what it's called?
I believe so.
Look, are you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Yeah. That would be interesting to find out. Cause then if it's like, if this is freshwater only, then I don't think the plesiosaur is going in for food. It's going in for spawning, I would think. And then just happening to eat what's there. But like, if this armored fish also does that, perhaps it's following this thing in during a spot, like during spawning. That's kind of where my brain would go to on this. What are you pulling up here? Got some?
Trying to find out if it's a freshwater fish or not. I'm not quite Jamie yet. Oh, yeah, it has been found in freshwater habitats.
So it's salt.
So
it's,
it could be both. Ocean. It could be, I think it's both.
Right, it could be doing the same thing, yeah. Right? Interesting. So
I
then
mean, why,
maybe
who
it's
are we to say that these creatures couldn't tolerate both? We have no fucking clue.
That's true. Well, we don't. There might be some smarter people out there, but like, there's been tons of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's been at least, 12 studies into Nessie and expeditions to try to find, the Loch Ness monster, including like Operation Deep Scan from 1987. And these things like, really haven't turned up a lot. I remember the sonar from the Operation Deep Scan. The guy, Lawrence, said, one of the things that he said was, there's something here that we don't understand, and there's something here that's larger than a fish, maybe some species that hasn't been detected before, but I don't know. And, with this, the Lawrence electrons, they found that they did indicate like their depth sonar found a large moving object at a depth of 590 feet.
So what you're telling me is they found Nessie.
Well, they don't know.
No. Like they found, like, come on.
They
come
found
on.
Nessie, yeah.
We got photo evidence. What else do we need? We got skeletons now. What else do you need?
Yeah.
Open and close case.
But they also in Loch Ness, they seals also get in there, right? From the ocean. So it's possible. Like is it not possible? I guess I would have to look at the lay of the land a little better in that area, but like, is it not possible that like Nessie might just come in for a, hey, how are you? And then back out to the ocean.
Everything I'm reading, I read up on this plesiodermy. I read up on the Mosasaurus as well, which is that other large prehistoric reptile or reptile fish, whatever the fuck they call them. And each one of these write-ups says they probably lived in both fresh and seawater. Right? So it's by the sounds of it, most of these prehistoric sea-dwelling creatures tolerated freshwater as well.
Yeah.
Right? So why wouldn't it be like that just makes sense for the plesiosaurus as well?
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like it would... It just, now, is there a possible, do you think there's a possibility that there's, maybe, is there some smaller ones? How big is 3 meters? That's what I need to find out first. 3 meters in feet. I think it's 12 feet. It's only 9 feet.
Yeah, so it's not
that's
huge.
That's a big water creature, right? Like if something was... You were swimming and something swam by you 9 feet, you'd be like, oh, what was that? I'm out of here. But like, let's be real here. That's not that big.
We have sturgeons that are that big.
Right? Exactly. Right? So it's like, people saying that like, this is not a possibility. I'm like, okay, well, there's more water on this planet than there is land. If there's not a lot of these things left, maybe it makes their sightings rare, right? There's tons of rare mammals and stuff that are so rarely seen, right? But we've caught them on camera, so we know they exist. But to say that this is an absolute impossibility to me is, I'm like, I think it's a bold stance. And I think because at some point, I believe some of the people that say they've seen something, right? And they're like, it looked like this. I don't know why. Maybe there is a handful floating around, right? Maybe there's not a breeding pair anymore. Maybe they've all died out since 1933, and it's one of the extinctions that's happened here, right? But just count it off and be like, there wasn't a, there's not a chance.
I think I think Nessie's just vacationing in the Okanagan now.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Well, I mean,
took one of those tunnels. Why would you leave? Come on.
Yeah,
beautiful.
But area. Like a nine foot creature, like that's, I mean, if there was a 9 foot creature in Okanagan Lake, there is. There's sturgeons.
For sure.
How often have you ever, we know there's sturgeons at the bottom of the lake.
I have once when I was a kid.
You've seen one?
100%.
Right?
Yes. Scared the shit out of me.
How big was it? Humongous?
To me at the time, I was probably like 12.
Yeah. And give me the rundown of the story here.
I was fucking on a dock and this giant fucking thing swam under the dock and I freaked the fuck out. That's the story. Yeah.
Well, right? And it's like, it's 9 feet. Now imagine like a plesiosaur could do the same thing, just be lurking on the bottom. Like someone catches a glimpse of it and is like, I think I saw some serpent thing, right? But it would appear like a serpent thing because of its long neck under the water, right? I imagine it would look like serpentine. Now, I'm not saying the Ogopogo is a plesiosaur as well, because most depictions of that is a long serpent-like creature. But for some reason, when I was thinking these things, I was thinking them as being absolutely monstrous. I wonder how big the biggest one I ever found is.
Well, plesiosaur? I'm pretty sure mosasauruses are bigger.
This is source. All right. I want to find, like, they're actually not that big, man. Like the ones I'm looking at, not that big. It grew to 3.5 meters. So that's not a ridiculous. I don't know why I thought these things were humongous. I always had it in my head that these things were just like gigantic. It's only 11 feet.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know if that's tip to tip.
It must be. Why? That would be.
Right. But then that's not that big, because if you think 11 feet and think about how long that neck is, right? Like that's not that big for like when people say like, oh, there's not it. Yeah. 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 It's tip to tip.
I think the mosasaurus is like 10 meters.
Yeah. So it's, to me, I'm like, that doesn't seem unbelievable that one of these things could hide. It's not that big, right? No. And if it doesn't surface, if it doesn't need to surface, if it's not a creature that doesn't need to come up for air and it can live 100% underwater, why would you see it? Right? Especially if it's a rare creature.
Well, yeah. And especially if it's been around this long, you got to imagine it's developed some type of fucking camouflage. To keep it safe, right? Like you
think. Well, maybe it's nocturnal, right? Like I've had fish tanks and like had some stuff like coolie loaches. And coolie loaches look like little serpents, right? They're little serpent fishes. And they lay in the rocks and they just wiggle until they bury themselves. And you never see them. The only time I ever see them is when you first flick on the light in the morning and they're going crazy, being like, get me the fuck out of the light. And then they go and bury themselves. And then they don't come out for the day. Like they completely go, they're only come out at night. Like maybe that's something that these things did. Like they were more of a nocturnal, like that's when they hunted their prey, right? Maybe they go sit in the mud during the day, right? Low level, keep their body temperature nice and cool, and then they only come out at night.
Well, and you're not going to see anything in the night.
No
way. Nothing.
Right? Especially if this thing doesn't need to breach like a whale. Like, why? Like, how often would you see it? Right? By chance. Right? By chance. It would just strictly be a by chance thing. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what comes of this. And as we learn more about the plesiosaurus, and if this is potentially Nessie, I was wondering how big people have estimated Nessie at. How big's the Loch Ness monster? Because I wonder if people are saying it's around, they think it's around the same. How big is the Loch Ness monster? Because It doesn't really say. But it's hard to say because people just see the head, really. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my thing, man. Like, that's not a big serpent. I think one of these things could easily live undetected. Especially if it's nocturnal. So it's going to be interesting to see as we learn more and more about dinosaurs, and there's breakthroughs in these studies, and there's, scientific discoveries that push the boundaries of our knowledge and how we understand things. It's going to be interesting. And obviously, if anyone can find one of these things, if anyone gets, you know, with the advantages of CCTV getting better and better all the time, and HD cameras, you know, perhaps someone might catch a head of one of these things kicking around, and we'll all go, hey, these things, we know at least there's a couple still around and they're rare, but it'll be interesting to see. We'll obviously, you know, keep following up on this story as we find out. But what are your last thoughts, Andrew?
I think it's awesome. I like the potential. And I'm excited to hear more about it.
Yeah. Anyways, that's another breaking news segment from you, for us. We'll always try to bring you the breaking news when it comes and it pertains to the conspiracy, cryptid, paranormal, UFO world. It's always interesting and we like to get it to you guys right away. If you like this, let us know. Shoot us a message. We kind of take this show based on where the fans want us to take it. So if you like this kind of stuff, we will keep doing it. But if we don't get feedback, we don't hear from it, we hear about it, sometimes it kind of falls off. So we've got some good feedback on the Bigfoot, which unfortunately turned out to be a hoax by the scumbag Coyote Peterson, and some good feedback on the Georgia Guidestones, which we're still learning more and more about. But anyways, that's it for us today. And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.